Good morning, everyone. You are tuned into the Vandal Scoreboard on KUOI Moscow 89.3 FM, hosted by myself, James Torman Aldrich, and co-host Jaden Barfus. We started off with the Beer Song today, performed by the Vandal Marching Band, because I wanted to mix things up this morning. And so, yeah. Anywho, Jaden, it's been a couple of weeks since we have done a show. How have you been? My friend,
good. I mean, we're really in the middle of finals, so just getting that done, and then excited to go home for about a month.
Yeah, I will likely be headed out next Wednesday afternoon, maybe, or Thursday, probably more likely Thursday, and then maybe headed to Bozeman on Friday or Saturday, depending on how things today go, and if the committee wants to be nice to me and let us have the Saturday game instead of the Friday 6 p.m. game, which would be kind of unfortunate, but that's next week.
Yeah.
We are focused on this week, particularly today, where there are a lot of things happening.
Yes.
Right now, we're about 30 minutes into the first graduation of the day. Following that graduation over in Memorial Gymnasium will be women's basketball game against St. Thomas University College something, I don't know, in the Big Sky Summit League Challenge. This will be the women's eighth game of the season. They sit at 5-2. Those two losses coming to Brigham Young University and Washington State University by a combined 16 points. Since then, they have gone on a five-game winning streak. Starting against Walla Walla University, then Southern Utah and UC Riverside and Cal Poly on the road for three straight games. And then coming back last week on Wednesday to take down the Montana Tech Ore Diggers.
Yes.
In a game that I would characterize as the worst collapse in Montana Tech history, at least since the Berkeley Pit fell in Butte. So, Jaden, tell us a little bit about this. You know, you kind of cover women's basketball a little bit. So tell us a bit about this 5-2 women's basketball team that is ranked 93rd in the first net ranking, the highest
ever
in Idaho women's basketball history.
Yeah, I mean, this team, like you and I, the last time we were on said, this team has a great ceiling. They can do really good. And ever since that game against Washington State, they have really turned a corner. Obviously, my heart always will go to point guards. I really love to watch point guards. So Hope Hassman has been killing it. But we really have to talk about the two bigs, Rosie and Jennifer Odland, are both been killing it. We have four players that average 10 points or more. And this team is playing really great team basketball, which is what I do really love to see. Shout out to Montana Tech starting forward Hadley Humphreys, who is from Blackfoot, Idaho, my dad's hometown. My dad would probably shoot me if I wouldn't mention that. So, Hadley is a player that my dad really loved. Dad really wanted to go to Idaho State, and it was great to see her play the Vandals, and it was great to see the Vandals beat them pretty good. Now they face a St. Thomas team that I believe the Vandals beat last year. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know much about the St. Thomas team. The most important thing here is that this is part of the Summit League or Big Sky Summit League
challenge
I guess they're calling it. Looking at the games today, I think the Big Sky should do well enough today to pull off the victory without going into the hypothetical situations for tiebreakers. This St. Thomas team, looking at their overall statistics, they're averaging 72.8 points per game, while opponents are averaging 63.2. They are their field goal percentage overall is 44.4%. Their field goal percentage is 28.3%, which isn't great, but not terrible. I mean, it could be worse.
I mean, 20% as a team is not bad at all.
No. And then looking at some individual statistics here, it looks like Joe Langbin is the leader for St. Thomas, maybe. She's averaging 66% from the field. She's only shot 2 3-pointers, but she's averaging 17.6 points per game, which is nothing to scoff at. I would tell you what the Vandals' individual statistics are, but the statistics are not updated on the website. So,
at all?
At all. The last statistics you can look at are from last season. So,
So
Joe Langbin, leading scorer for the St. Thomas Tommies, I think they're called.
Yes.
And so that game tips off, because this isn't football, at noon. The Vandal men did their part, which we'll briefly touch on. I told Jaden we weren't going to talk much about basketball, so I'm going to limit myself to like 10 minutes here. But the men did their part down in Kansas City, Missouri, facing against my... There was nothing else you wanted to say about women's basketball, right?
No. Okay, cool. Nope, that's it.
If you're wondering, we don't do this scripted. Everything just comes off the top of my head.
No, I mean, I would also say since this is our last show before the break, just really, they have 3 straight home games. They play St. Thomas, and then they play December 15th against the Utah State Aggies. I am hoping for an absolute blowout so that I've got bragging rights for a second straight year over my friends from Utah State. And then we host UC Davis before they end conference play December 21st against CSUN, a team that we've dominated in soccer. So I would
hope they changed their logo this year.
They did, yep.
Gross.
And then we open up Big Sky play with the trip to Montana.
Maybe I'll go to
with Montana State on January 2nd.
I'm going to go to that Montana game.
And the University of Montana on January 4th. For we're back home January 9th, the day, I believe it's the day before we get back from break. January 9th.
Yeah, so January 9th against Sac State, but a lot of games to be played before then. If you're still in town, which most students will not be.
No.
Unless something incredible happens here in about 6 hours.
Yeah.
When Montana State takes on, we'll talk about football later. Anywho, moving over to men's basketball just here briefly. As I was saying, the men's basketball team went down to Kansas City, Missouri, to take on my second favorite mid-major basketball team, the Kansas City Ruse. 792 people were in attendance, so that's kind of neat. But so Idaho did their part for the men's side of the Big Sky Summit League Challenge. Huge game for Jack Payne. 36 minutes, 8 rebounds, 17 points, 4 assists, 4 steals. One of those steals probably should have been on SportsCenter Top 10 if it was not. Probably wasn't, but steal leading to a massive hammer of a dunk from Jack Payne. And then Chris Gonzalez, who, you know, has stepped in mightily after losing Quinn Danker in the portal last season. 30 minutes, 16 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 turnovers, but what can you do? And then with Tyler Morris being out, JoJo Anderson stepped into that starting position. Tyler Morris is dealing with a cold, I guess. But JoJo stepped in 4 for 5 from the field, 2 for 3 from 3, 4 for 4 from the line, which is a wonderful sight to see. 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 turnovers, and 14 points. And to Jaden's mention earlier about the women's team averaging a lot of bunch of players averaging double digits, Juice Mims, 20 minutes, 5 for 5 from the field, 1 for 4 from the line, which isn't great to see, but it's kind of to be expected from Juice so far this season.
Yep.
7 rebounds. He did foul out, but he also had a block and 11 points. And then Ty Linhart off the bench. Colton Mitchell had kind of a stinker of a game, but he had 3 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds. Ty Linhart off the bench, 15 points in 25 minutes. So the men have finally figured out how to beat Division I basketball teams in the past couple of weeks, beating UC Riverside 80-68 at home on November 30th. That was a fun game to be at. And then beating the Kansas City Roos 82-77. They will take on Jay Stevens, who plays for the Vandals, his former team, and Jaden's biggest rival, the Oregon State University Beavers, over in Corvallis at 2 p.m.
Yes.
Which is also the starting time for the second graduation of the day. So if the keynote speaker gets boring, turn on ESPN Plus and or probably the Pac-12 network, actually. I don't know what this is being streamed on. It doesn't say, but you can probably find it somewhere.
It is going to be on.
Oh, it is on ESPN Plus. Look at that. So, you get bored during graduation. There's a game on it too. So, with all of that being said, in 11 minutes, I went a minute longer than I wanted to. Jaden, as I mentioned, it's been a few weeks since we've had a show, so we're going to let Jaden do what Jaden does best and talk about Idaho women's soccer here for a little bit, as the Vandals signed 9, is that right?
Yes.
Something like that?
Yeah.
9 new players to the women's soccer roster for next season. Jaden, if you want to kind of dive into that, tell us who is coming to the Palouse starting next year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm going to start off with really mentioning how we are going to be in a time of change for the soccer team. We are going to be losing our top 3 defenders on the back line. We're going to be losing 2 of our starting midfielders, 3 forwards, so many key bench players. So this is going to be a team where we find out how good of a coach Clevenger is, how good of a program we really have. So to start off the signings, we have forward from Lakewood, Colorado, who is home to U.S. Women's National Team star Sophia Smith, Alyssa Hamilton. Fun fact, the last time we did sign someone with that name, she turned out pretty good. So, although Hamilton is a forward, and the other Alyssa I'm talking about was the star outside back, so a bit different positions, hoping for the same success. Hamilton will bring depth inside a position that, I mean, the transfer portal really hasn't hit us over the last 2 years. This could be a year that kids decide to transfer. If they do, she could be a nice depth piece. I know we have the Lady Barbie who did not play at all. She will be back for her first actual season on the Palouse. We have players Sienna Gonzalez and Naomi Alvarez still on the roster as of now. We still don't know if they will be here come the spring. So, but Hamilton will be a big get for us. We also went all the way down to the Lone Star State in Texas, signed a goalkeeper, Claire Menes. She is from Frisco, Texas, which is where the FCS Championship is. So, just a fun fact there. She played with Sting Dallas, a club team down there. With this signing, it's more of a depth signing with, again, college sports being at a place where kids transfer all the time, players get hurt. And so she'll probably be number 3 behind Paula Flores, who will be a redshirt sophomore next season. Ella Martin, who will be a redshirt freshman, and then she will be a true freshman. So now we have three keepers who I think would be a good signing. We have our first signing from the state of Washington, Emmeline Schaefer, who I had to dig through like 5 articles to find information about her. She's from Olympia, Washington. She is a midfielder / forward. She scored 27 goals this last season in 17 games played. She, again, will be a key depth piece for this team going forward. And then we have another forward, McKenna Stewart, who is also from Washington. She's from Moses Lake. With the Vandals going through a whole bunch of changes to the front six, we obviously need key depth, maybe even starters, who knows. I mean, Sarah Rogers was a key depth, and then instead of the spring, sprung into a starting role, so that might be what some of these two freshmen do. Then we go to the back line, who got some much needed help with Mia Bolts, coming from Shoreline, Washington, another Washington commit. With now losing Cassidy Ellicker, Rebecca Reyes, and the Big Sky best outside back Alyssa Peters, it's going to be important for the Vandals to reload for a key place for the Vandals going forward. We now go all the way across the border to Alberta, Canada, for our next signing, Dasha Tikhova. I'm so sorry if that was a wrong pronunciation, but Dasha is also a forward / midfielder that will help the Vandals going forward. I know this is very the same thing, but it's pretty true. Now we have Miranda Goldner from the Sunshine State of Martinez, California. Goldner, let me look at my notes really quick, is a outside back who will help with that position with the departure of Peters. We have a transfer from FAU that her name is slipping my mind right now. It will come back to me. She will probably be the starting outside back, but to have key depth at that position. Ashlyn Chase is the next one here from Spokane. Chase is a center back that could potentially slide into the starting role. As I said, our two center backs who played 3 years together are graduating this year, so they will not be there next season. Then we have forward Caitlin Riggs from Auburn, Washington. She was the only one I was really able to watch tape on, mainly because she put her highlights on Twitter. From what I could tell, Riggs, a forward, a very quick forward that really loves to score goals, something that the Vandals will need with the departure of Maddie Lasher, Margot, Hannah, three of their best goal scorers for the last five years are not going to be with the Vandals anymore. And then our last signing, our 10th signing of the class, Alice Chappelle from Pulliap, Washington. She is another forward we added. So yeah, 10 signings, a whole bunch of forwards. Of our 10, we signed 7 forwards. Some of those can play midfielder. Sure, most of them have / midfielder on there. So for the Vandals, again, like I said, it's going to be a year to really see what this program is made of and what this Vandal program is going forward. Now that you now lose your two team captains, Margot and Maddie Lasher. You lose Hannah Alfara Black. You lose key players Cassie Ellicker, Rebecca Reyes, Alyssa Peters. On the bench, you lose Kyla Tucker. So a lot of players that have been key players for the Vandals last 5 years will not be a part of the team going forward. This class and last year's class has a really good opportunity to really flex their and say those players might be gone, but this Vandals team is here to stay. I'm very excited for the future of Vandal soccer.
Yeah, I mean, it's not often in college athletics anymore that you can say that your team was decimated by graduation.
Yeah.
You know, and so to see these players who have been here for 3, 4, 5 years, most of them 4 or 5 years, you know, it sucks, honestly, to have so many players leaving.
Yeah,
that have
that
had,
does. I mean,
you know, players I've watched for 4 years, Jaden's watched for three.
Yep.
Jaden's covered for three. But to see, you know, 10 players come in and also a lot of, you know, redshirt freshmen who will have playing next season.
Yep.
You know, the future of Vandal soccer is probably, you know, starting the season 4th, 5th, 6th in the preseason poll after this season. I would hope not, but knowing the Big Sky Conference.
Well, I mean, I mean, the 1 year that I think fans will have to be patient with the team next season with, because, I mean, granted, some teams have, they can just get players and go. But for this team, it's going to be more about off the field for me, because you are losing two of your locker room captains. Maddie Lasher, I mean, she has been a staple. She's been a captain for 4 years. Of her 5 years at Moscow, she's been a captain for 4 years. Margot has been a captain for three. So, I mean, it's going to be hard to just jump into a team that is going to be gone. And then the back line, who, and I know James has known me for 3 years, the two positions that I think are the most important for a team, center backs and center and outside midfielders. And with Cassidy and Rebecca being such a force back there, them now being gone, it's going to force people to step up. And but fans are really going to have to be patient. I know a team that's been to 3 straight Big Sky Championships who has that championship expectation. Everyone expects them to just win, win, win. Well, in college, your players leave. And so this is going to be Coach Clevenger's shot to say, hey, I'm still here. I mean, because Coach Clevenger, I'm sure in the future, will get head coaching offers other places.
Absolutely.
He is, and I'm sorry to the Montana coach. I'm sorry to the he is the best coach in all of, like, lower level Division I soccer. The guy turned a team that was 5-6, 5-12. They were not winning, into a 3-time championship appearance, a NCAA tournament appearance, with players that weren't highly sought after. And so Coach Clevenger has been a great coach. Coach Osmond, Coach Ashley. And it's great. I mean, for me, it's very hard for me to really talk about this with, obviously, having so many players that I covered for 3 years, I've gotten to know, are now going to be graduating. So it's obviously a very hard thing for me to really look back the last 3 years. But I'm also a person that's really excited for the Vandal soccer going forward.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that all, you know, I didn't care for soccer at all when I first came to the University of Idaho. This is a team that I'll keep up with, you know, for years after graduation, especially as long as Jeremy's here.
Yep.
Great guy, great coach. And, you know, if he ends up going to some bigger and better place that'll pay him more. I mean, I don't know if it gets better, but bigger place that'll pay him more.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll follow Clevenger, unless it's Boise State.
Yeah.
But anywhere else, I'll keep up with Coach Clevenger. I mean, this is a team that was exciting to watch. You know, sure, a lot of it, Jaden and I have talked ad nauseum for the past however long we've talked about soccer of, man, you know, if they could just score more. But, you know, winning games 1-0, still a win.
Still a win.
You know, but just a fun team, and I'm excited for this incoming class that I know absolutely nothing about. But then again, I don't know anything at all about soccer.
I mean, for me, about this class is really about starting this Vandal team again. I mean, it's not starting from scratch, but it pretty much is, because you're going to be losing those key players, and then who knows, we might also lose more, because transfer portal just opened, so we still haven't gotten in with finals and everything. Players are not really that concerned about their next future yet, but in the next couple weeks, with break coming up, you're going to have players that will probably enter the portal. So we're definitely going to see what this team can do next year. But I am going to end with this. For this is going off of Vandal soccer, but still keep it with college soccer. If you are a college soccer fan and you guys didn't watch the Final Four last night, shame on you, because the Wake Forest-Stanford game was amazing, 1-0. A goal by their captain, who had a very great post-game press conference interview, which was great. So Wake Forest goes to their first ever NCAA championship against a team that's been there 29 times, North Carolina Tar Heels, 23 national championships, but they haven't won since 2012. So that also, game is going to be great.
Not entirely off Vandal soccer, as yes. Jaden Hank's sister, I don't know her name, unfortunately, but is a key player for Wake Forest.
Yes.
So a little bit of an Idaho connection there, kind of.
Yeah, with, I mean, it is.
With Jaden Hank's sister playing for Wake Forest, so I know who I'll be cheering for, I guess.
The North Carolina Tar Heels, who defeated the number one overall seed in the nation, the number one team in the nation, Duke Blue Devils, 3-0 last night. That game was a pure domination from start to end. And so college soccer ends Monday. I'm very, very sad about that. College soccer is like my number one sport. I mean, I know I love college basketball, college football, but college soccer is my first love. So that's going to be hard to say goodbye. But I'm very intrigued to see the matchup between Kate Fosse, who's the number one goal scorer into the nation with 20 goals. She scored her 20th last night for North Carolina. Again, and then a very stingy Wake Forest defense. Should be a great game to really decide the 2024 national championship.
And who knows, maybe in 27 years, Idaho will be in that position. Anywho, maybe. Jaden, you got to ramble on about your signings over in the soccer realm. So now, in the next probably 10 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes, because I gave you about 19. That time, yeah. So the other day was early signing day for football. Idaho signed 19 players on December 4th. Jane, remind me to turn your mic on if you need to talk, but I don't, just in case there's an echo or anything that I can't hear in here. So Idaho signed 19 players, the least amount that Jason Eck has signed since starting here at the University of Idaho 3 years ago, which I'm not mad about. You know, in a world where, you know, I mean, Jason signed 40 in the last 2 years, so we're set, really. And as college football changes, you only have so many scholarships you can give out. So I'm going to dive into these 19 players. I don't know a lot about them outside of what Vandal Football put in with their highlights for their signing posts. But just going down the line here, starting with Jonathan Craven Jr. He's a defensive back, 5'11", 190 pounds, out of Lakewood, California. played at Junipero Serra High School. Harrison DeShazer, defensive lineman, 6'5", 230 out of Washougal, Washington. Toa Favai, if that last name sounds familiar, it's because his cousin, Favai Favai, who was one of my favorite linebackers to watch when he was here at the University of Idaho after transferring over from Washington State. His cousin plays quarterback. I will dive into why that doesn't really make a lot of sense as a signing to me in a little bit, but he is 6'1", 200 pounds out of Martinez, California. Cool to see the Favai connection staying at the University of Idaho. Going down the line, the first of six or nine signings out of the state of Idaho. Seven. Man, I didn't even pay attention. I don't know how to read. But first of seven signings out of the out of the state of Idaho signed to the University of Idaho on this list. Shepard Fish, a defensive lineman, 6'4", 240 pounds out of Meridian, Idaho Capital High School. Followed by Austin Flaherty, a defensive lineman, 6'3", 240 pounds, out of Boise, Idaho. Jack Giannini, a linebacker, 6', 205, out of Eagle. Moving back west, JoJo Matuatia, a 5'11", 285-pound center out of Renton, Washington. Colin McBean, defensive back, 6'2", 190 pounds, out of Long Beach, California. Brody Michael, 6', 205-pound linebacker out of Queen Creek, Arizona. First of two wide receivers on the list, Sawyer Hewitt, 6', 170-pound receiver out of Julietta, Idaho, a tiny little town in this big old state. Followed by Reggie Colon, defensive lineman, 6', 270 pounds out of Fremont, Wisconsin. Of Wisconsin, it sounds like a really weird state. That is where head coach Jason Eck played as a backup offensive lineman, was at the University of Wisconsin. So not totally out of the realm of possibility that Wisconsin will be a place where more players are signed from in the future. Defensive lineman Mason Cron, 6'2", 220 pounds out of Nampa, Idaho, played at Skyview. Casey Larson, 6'2", 200-pound linebacker out of Woodinville, Washington. Blake Ryan, 6'4", 270-pound center, the second signing out of Wisconsin. He played at Middleton High School. Makes more sense as a Jason Eck signing. Caden Seigner, a defensive lineman, 6'2", 225 pounds out of Star, Idaho. Zaheel Smith, 6' wide receiver, 190 pounds out of Damascus, Oregon. Jamar Tossie, 6'2", offensive lineman, 300 pounds out of Spanaway, Washington. That's a big kid right there. Cody Thumlert, 6'3", 220-pound defensive lineman out of Issaquah, Washington. And finally, Nate Williams, defensive lineman, 6'4", 245 pounds out of Eagle. Jaden, we talked earlier, you know a little bit about one of these kids. I think you said it was Shepard.
Yeah, so
tell us a little bit about Shepard Fish.
I mean, I haven't. The only thing I've really heard about him is from what my cousin is telling about him. My cousin, my whole family is from the Boise area, and so they are avid watchers of all high school sports. And so, I mean, he's strong, big. He really has quick feet. That's the thing that I really noticed with some of these offensive linemen that the Vandals have. Is that most of them have quick feet and quick burst. And so I believe Fish has that. And I think with an offensive line that's been positioned that hasn't been the best for the Vandals this year, I think retooling the offensive line with Idaho kids will be great for the team going forward.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this signing class. Specifically, when you realize that there are probably going to be quite a few defensive players who will enter the portal in a couple of weeks. Also, you lose edge rusher Keyshawn James Newby to graduation, who we'll probably be seeing on Sundays. Outside of that, not a lot of losses to graduation. Not a lot of huge losses, at least. But you also, like, you look at this, you know, seven Idahoans is huge for Idaho. When, you know, when Jason Eck came here, he said he's going to focus on Idaho. That's something that we've heard a lot of coaches say in the, you know, 200 some or 140 years that Idaho's been a university. But Jason Eck has really honed in on his, you know, on his promise to recruit Idaho, specifically southern, southeast Idaho. You get Meridian, Boise, Eagle.
Yep.
That area has been huge, huge for the Vandals. You get Sawyer Hewitt out of Julietta, who played at four-time state champion Kendrick High School.
Yep.
You get a kid out of Nampa, kid out of Star, and another kid out of Eagle. And then also just continuing this recruiting out of Washington, which the University of Montana kind of took a lot from Idaho, out of that eastern and western Washington recruiting area, but still picking up a kid out of Spanaway, a kid out of Issaquah, and a kid out of Washougal, which is a good recruiting area for the Vandals as well. Looking at these signings, though, I mean, Jonathan Craven, defensive back, is going to be huge. You lose probably the most in that position. Casey Larson, a linebacker out of Woodinville, I think is going to be huge for the Vandals. But as Jaden said, that offensive line that has been, you know, the talking point of every person who's been able to get their hands on a mic and do a podcast, such as Jaden and myself, is this offensive line is something that we need to see more from. It's a line that has been decimated by injuries all season, but also just hasn't played the best in the 3 years that Jason Eck has been here. But you pick JoJo up, a center. You know, he's 5'11", 285 pounds. That's a big kid out of Washington. You pick up Blake Ryan, a 6'4", 270-pound center out of Wisconsin. You could probably move him around on the line a little bit, since you do have those two centers that, but probably won't play the next season unless you end up in the same situation Idaho's been in the past 3 years, where your entire offensive line gets decimated by injuries.
Yeah.
But then also Jay Martossi, as I mentioned, this 6'2", 300-pound offensive lineman out of Spanaway. I think that's going to be a huge signing for the Vandals. I haven't, you know, watched tape on this kid or anything. I haven't looked at his huddle. Haven't had time. As Jaden mentioned earlier, it's finals week coming up. So I've been a busy guy, but I'm excited about this signing class. I like that it's not large. You know, you fill those positions that you're going to lose from your graduating seniors. But also just looking at this offensive line that I really want to focus on with these three signings, but looking at what it looks like now, with players that I would like to see get more playing time next year, players like Alex Green out of Coeur d'Alene, who was dominant up in Coeur d'Alene. His team only won two games. He only allowed two sacks, though, in his senior year. Leighton Vining, who has looked pretty darn good for the Vandals. He's a sophomore, true sophomore. But then you also have a lot of young kids who are going to step up next season with Leon Evans, Keegan Henson. Jack Foster, a redshirt sophomore, is going to continue to be good. Sone Falaleo out of Anchorage, Alaska, a true freshman who I would like to see get some playing time if Idaho goes up by 20 points later this evening. Caden Robnett, who's looked really good for the Vandals. But just a lot of young kids on this offensive line. You bring in three more. But the defensive line also, you know, that's where Idaho focused, which it makes sense. You're going to lose Dallas Ofolave in a couple years, if not, you know, if he doesn't enter the portal. You know, as a true sophomore who was you know, all-conference freshman last year, first team all-conference this season, who's been huge for the Vandals. But I'm excited about this recruiting class, just as Jaden was excited about soccer. Excited to just see kind of what the future of Vandal football looks like as we lose really the last remaining Paul Petrino recruits, particularly, you know, if Eli Cummings still has eligibility. I think he might. So he might still be around, but possible to lose him.
Thomas is a transfer.
Yeah, you bring a lot of transfers that Coach Eck has brought in. But Beecham, who I'm pretty sure was a recruit from, yeah, he was a recruit out of Petrino. One other big kid who was, Nate Azzafardi, who was a recruit for Paul Petrino. He's a redshirt junior, technically. But, you know, we're going to see a lot of really just the end of the Paul Petrino era fully after this season. So, you know, when Jason X brought 80 guys in the last 2 years, 19 this year, and then also obviously the portal where he's brought quite a few guys in. You know, exciting times in Vandal football with a team that is in their third straight playoffs under head coach Jason Eck in his third year, taking on Lehigh football this evening. Jaden, with the last 20 minutes that we have, I don't think we'll go quite that long, but we do have 20 minutes to talk about a team that Idaho theoretically should beat by at least 15.5 points is the spread. This Lehigh team, I should start by saying they're not bad. I mean, they're in the playoffs for a reason. They won the Patriot League, which, when looking at conferences in the FCS, it's no Big Sky, it's no Mountain West. They're probably better than the CAA. They did beat Richmond. They beat Richmond down two of their best defenders who went out with injuries during the game, particularly a kid who I am terrified of, in Matt Spatney. I do want to focus to start on this Matt Spatney kid. Jane, feel free to step in whenever if there's anything you want to say, but I know you don't know much about Lehigh football. I don't either, hence why I have a laptop that has their statistics. But Matt Spatney in 12 games, 36 total tackles. He leads the FCS in tackles for loss, at least in the regular season, with 11.5 TFLs for 68 yards. No interceptions as an edge rusher. Makes sense. Three quarterback hurries and one pass breakup. So that's pretty neat as an edge rusher. But Matt Spatney went down early in the game against Richmond, was stretchered off, taken to the hospital. They announced during the game that he was able to move his extremities. He has since been released. He was released, I think, a day or two after going to the hospital. And luckily for the University of Idaho, Matt Spatney is listed as the starting defensive end for the Lehigh Mountain Hawks. I don't know who plays left tackle. I don't know who plays right tackle. I don't know what side Matt Spatney is going to be on.
I was going to say, I think it's Nate.
But whoever it is, whoever it is going to... I don't care if we have to give up a couple holding penalties to make sure Matt Spatney doesn't...
kill Jack Wayne?
Kill Jack Wayne. There's no better way to put it. I mean, if if Matt Spatney gets more than two or three hits on quarterback Jack Wayne, luckily Wagner is back healthy. But Lehigh, like I said, they're not a bad football team. I mean, their defense, very solid. They're a very good running defense. Their offense, on the other hand, despite what some people in the press might say, is not incredible. I mean, their rushing game is good. You look at Luke Yoder, 182 attempts, 955 yards, or 940 yards if you count his losses. But so he's averaging 5.2 yards a game. He has 10 touchdowns. His backup, Jaden Green, 129 attempts, 797 yards, 34 lost yards, though, so 763 technically, 5.9 yards per attempt, 10 rushing touchdowns. Their starting quarterback, Hayden Johnson, not to be confused with the Idaho Vandals defensive back, Hayden John, two different people, do look kind of similar, though. But Hayden Johnson, he's played in 12 games. He started in their last three, 58 attempts, rushing the ball, 318 yards. He's also been sacked for 80, though. So 238 net yards, 4.1 yards a carry, four touchdowns. Focusing in on this Hayden Johnson kid, I am not high on him. As an opposing quarterback against the Vandals defense, I would expect in this game Kyron Beecham to have an interception, Tommy McCormick to have two interceptions. I could even see a third career interception for Zach Kratzer. He's 98 for on 139 attempts, 10 touchdowns, halfway decent stat line if you play college football 25. But six interceptions is glaring. He threw two of those against Richmond. Now, granted, he threw those two interceptions and Lehigh was still able to win. But the reason Lehigh won is because Richmond all season hasn't known how to do anything in the red zone. You know, they get in those that 25-yard line, and all of a sudden they forget that they're a football team. You know, it looks like they get caught in their own spider web because, you know, Richmond spiders. Huh, I'm hilarious. So Lehigh kind of got bailed out against a very poor red zone offense in Richmond who had to kick three field goals. And Lehigh came out on top 20-16, held Richmond scoreless in the final 10 minutes of the game. Yeah, this is a game that I think Idaho should win by a bunch. I mean, it won't be 1993 when Idaho won 77-14 against Lehigh in the Kibbe Dome. Shout out to Jarek for that fun little piece of information. Posted that on Twitter. But Jaden, tell me a little bit about kind of what you're hoping to see in this game. I mean, this is going to be, as I mentioned, a very defensive game for Idaho.
Yeah.
But just kind of what you hope to see, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, as somebody who maybe pays attention a little better than I do during the games.
Yeah, I mean, for me, so that game versus Idaho State, right? That game was a lot closer than what the final score was. Because of Andrew Marshall had two great kickoff returns. Our offense was stagnant at times. No offense to the coaches, it was the coaches. Because our game plan should be to exploit what the other team doesn't do well in. Idaho State has not been able to stop the run all year. I mean, the game before, they gave up 500 yards to Eastern on the ground. I mean, just, and so we would at times run it, and we'd gain yards. But then it was just, it really wasn't a clean game from us offensively. There were penalties. Our passing game was good in the second half. First half, it wasn't. But the one thing I will say is that the Vandal defense stood up when they had to. Like, Kobe Tracy was obviously going to complete passes. That was always going to happen. But what the Vandals did is the opposite, actually, exactly what the opponent did that we're facing today. We held our opponents to 3 points. It was 3 points. We also had a goal line stand at the very end of the first half, and so our defense wasn't very good from the 25 to the 25. But as soon as we got into the 20 yard line, we actually started to play. That was, I think, because we were a lot. We gave Idaho State too much separation. Like, if you watched them, our corners would be standing at the first down marker, and so Kobe Tracy would just turn around, drop back, find it 8 yards before contact, and then all he has to do is make one man miss. So we're definitely going to have to tackle better defensively. We're going to have to cover really good, obviously. But then offensively, we're going to have to play Idaho. Play our game. Hand the ball off, control the clock, and then let Jack Lane be Jack Lane. Let Jack Lane scramble out and make great plays. Jack Lane is a starting quarterback at the University of Idaho because the guy can play. Let Jack Lane go. Let him loose. but also know how to establish the game. And I mean, I would love for this game to be quick over. Now, that's not going to happen with it being a playoff game, but
a guy can dream.
I would love for the Vandals to come out from the first kickoff and just utterly dominate inside a team, which we should. This is a game that we should win by, what, 17, 18 points?
Yeah. I mean, the spread is 15.5, which makes sense. I mean, it's a playoff game, second round.
Yep.
You know, Lehigh's here for a reason. Granted, they beat an overranked CAA team, but they're here for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, and one thing I want to focus on in the final 10 minutes we have is me shooting out my butt because somebody won't post the depth chart for today's football game. Not calling anybody out or anything, but you know, you mentioned the run game against Idaho State. If you were wondering why it was hard for Idaho to completely run the ball, Nate Thomas had 21 attempts for 180 yards. Guess who our backup running back in that game was, Jaden?
It was the person that scored at the end.
It was Mark Hamper.
Ah.
It was not Carlos Matini, who did have his first, I think, career touchdown, made up for his first career fumble last season, which was on his first ever carry as a Vandal. But
yeah.
Mark Hamper was playing backup running back for the University of Idaho.
Yeah.
Because
with Buchanan and Cummings out. I mean, that's obviously a problem. But what I'm saying is that the run game, Nate Thomas was killing it.
Yeah.
He was getting 7-8 yards a carry. I mean, I don't know what he averaged, but it was like 5-6 yards a carry he probably averaged. But there were times where
8.1.
Okay. Where the offensive coordinator would, or whoever calls the plays, would throw it on a down that we should have headed it off because Nate Thomas had 21 carries for 180 yards. Like, imagine if that guy gets 30 carries, probably as close to 300 yards. And so, I mean, it's nothing major. We did win. My dad and I left early. Like, by early, I mean like 25 seconds left in the game. But
you had to get out of those tiny flipping corridors.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was a great game for us. But now, tonight, and I know that you and I say this game won't be close, but it's a playoff game.
Yeah.
Playoff games, everything matters more. Every single kickoff, every single coverage, every single block, everything means more to the playoffs. And for the fact that in last year's playoff game, we also were projected to win that game. And guess what happened to that one? We did lose that one after beating Southern Illinois the first round inside the best game inside the dome. I don't care what anybody says. That's the best game for me that I've ever seen.
It was a great game.
Inside the dome. We should have won off a walk-off touchdown. Thank you, refs. Anthony Woods was not out of bounds. The student section went nuts, and then they called him out at, the 10-yard line, and it wasn't out of bounds.
John has a photo of that,
but
fun fact.
Yeah, that was the best. But then we show up against Albany, and our offensive line wasn't blocking. Our wideouts were not catching the ball, and our defense couldn't stop anybody that game.
Yeah.
And so games like that happen, and to the playoffs – It could mean the big difference between us traveling to Bozeman and playing a red-hot Montana State team or being sat on our butts watching Lehigh play. Well, okay.
For all we know, Lehigh and UT Martin could match up.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a guaranteed win for Montana State, but
it's a guaranteed win for Montana State. Speaking of which,
it's a pretty good opportunity.
With the final 6 minutes that we have in the show, after Jaden and I have ranted a little bit about last season's playoff game, one thing I do want to say is a quick shout out to fellow Vandal podcasters over at Tubbs at the Club. The one thing that a lot of us had to say in the comments about this game against Lehigh is it's 6 p.m. in the playoffs at home against the East Coast team. Number one, show up. But also, Idaho doesn't have a great history of late night games in the Gibby Dome, especially against East Coast teams. But as Brian Marceau said, if your main concern is Lehigh getting incredibly lucky, then probably playing a good football game. But with the now 5 minutes we have left, I'm going to start at the top and go down for the predictions that Jaden and I are going to make for the Big Sky in today's playoffs games, starting in about an hour with Montana State UT Martin in Bozeman. It's not relatively cold, but also not very warm there today. Not that that's going to matter. I'm going to get, I don't even know what the spread is. I think Montana State wins this game. Probably, I said 50-10, but probably closer to like 44-16.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a bunch of scores, but I think I'm going to go 45-7. I just don't see a chance UT Martin has, and Montana State is just too good of a team.
Yeah,
and in Bozeman, it's 49 degrees right now, so
it's warmer than it is here.
It is warmer there.
Next up, we're gonna save Idaho for last, obviously. Yeah. Next up, UC Davis versus Illinois State. Illinois State beat Southeast Missouri State 35-27 in the opening round. This is 5-12, which is usually where that upset happens, is the 12-5 game. I don't think that's going to be the case today. This is the lowest spread out of any of the games this weekend, but I think UC Davis wins this pretty handedly, probably 35-17.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't know really much about Illinois State, but I do know a lot about UC Davis, them beating us. Them should have beat Montana State. Wasn't for a dumb two-point conversion, but I mean, so I think UC Davis will go far in the playoffs, and I think they prove it today. I think they win 35-14.
South Dakota State, Montana. I don't even care about the Grizz. Some people say, don't care about nothing but the Tide. Well, I care about literally everything else in life more than the University of Montana Grizzlies. South Dakota State is going to remind the University of Montana about the 2023-24.
Yeah.
I don't know how years work with the playoffs. It's silly because the playoff game is played in 2025. But 2024 playoff game, South Dakota State is going to beat the Montana Grizzlies in Brookings. I don't even care. 50-0.
I think, I mean, it's obviously going to be closer than that, but
no, probably. But
I think it's going to be because, I mean, South Dakota State, solid team, really not as good as they were last year, obviously. I'm going to go 28-24. South Dakota State walks out of Brookings and beats Montana, so all the Twitter Montana fans can shut up.
No, they're still going to blame the refs for the next 4 weeks. But and then finally, with 2 minutes left, Idaho versus Lehigh. I'm going to hold strong in my prediction that I made at the beginning of the week. Lehigh, Hayden Johnson, I'm sorry, you're not ready for the Idaho defense. But I also don't think the Idaho offense is ready for Lehigh's defense. So it's not going to be as high scoring as some people think. 35-14, Vandals head into Bozeman next week with a win.
Yeah, I mean, I believe actually 35 is very generous from what I've seen. I think, I do think the Vandals will win convincingly. I think it's going to be 28-17. I just don't see this being a high shootout type of game. And with the Vandals offense really hasn't clicked this year. That's the one thing, is that our defense has been red hot, really good. But then our offense really hasn't clicked. I mean, it's been up and down. So I believe 28-17, Vandals go into Bozeman. And that, I think, will be where our year ends.
Probably. That is all the time we have for the Vandal scoreboard on KULY Moscow 89.3 FM. If you're not doing anything in about an hour, the women's basketball team is taking on St. Thomas. If you're not doing anything in about 3 hours, people are graduating in ICCU Arena. And if you're not doing anything in about 7 hours, Idaho is playing Lehigh for a chance to go to the quarterfinals against most likely Montana State University in Bozeman. You know what our social medias are. I'm not even going to say them. Thank you all for tuning in for the entire year. If you hit every episode, or if this is your first one, and you wonder why the heck they give two kids at the University of Idaho microphones, I wonder that myself every week. So thank you all for tuning in. I have been James Torman Aldridge. Jaden Barfus.
See you in 2025.
Has been Jaden Barfus, and we will see you. Let's see, probably January 11th or 18th. One of those 2 days.
One of them. Yeah.
I think the 11th. But that is enough rambling from me. I'm going to hand things back over to the robot to get the rest of today started.